Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive with us.
Yeah, glad to be back.
Today we're going to be looking at a figure. Well, I don't think he needs much of an introduction.
He's been in the news a lot.
That's right, Donald Trump.
Yes.
We're going to be going beyond the soundbites and the headlines, though, and we're going to be looking at his deal-making strategies.
That's right.
Which have garnered a lot of fascination, a lot of debate over the years.
Yeah, definitely.
To do that, we have some really great sources.
Yeah.
We're going to be pulling from his book, Art of the Deal. We have excerpts directly from that. We also have a study guide on the book that breaks down all of his strategies.
Oh, wow.
And we even have audio of Trump himself narrating the audiobook.
Wow, getting right inside.
So we're really going to get inside the mind of the deal maker.
That's amazing.
And see what we can pull out.
Yeah.
As far as memorable anecdotes and key takeaways.
Awesome.
So let's jump right in.
Okay.
We're going to start our story in the 1970s, New York City, a young Donald Trump setting his sights on the Commodore Hotel.
Okay.
Now, this wasn't exactly the glamorous Trump Tower we all know today.
Right, right.
This was a struggling hotel. New York City itself was in a financial crisis.
Really rough time.
Yeah. But Trump saw potential where others only saw problems.
Yeah. He seemed to have a knack for that.
Yeah.
So this is where we really start to see that, like, that aim high, use leverage, and promote aggressively strategy.
Right, right.
You know, come into play.
Yeah. And he wasn't afraid to make bold moves either.
Right.
He actually convinced the Commodore's owners to publicly announce that the hotel was closing.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a power play.
As a way to kind of pressure the city to give him some help.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a brilliant tactic.
Yeah.
By highlighting the city's desperation, you know, to avoid another abandoned building.
Of course, yeah.
In the city, he gained incredible leverage to negotiate a massive tax break.
That's incredible.
Which then helped him, you know, transform the Commodore into what we now know as the Grand Hyatt.
And it really put him on the map as a major player in the New York real estate scene.
From that one deal?
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Seeing opportunity amidst all that chaos, I mean, that's a real skill.
Yeah.
Seems like he has a knack for it.
Yeah. Well,
as we'll see.
As we'll see, yeah. And speaking of aiming high,
yeah,
let's talk about Trump Tower.
Oh.
So Trump, he had this vision to build the most fantastic building in New York.
Right.
But zoning regulations stood in his way.
Oh.
He wanted a grand entrance on Fifth Avenue.
Of course.
Which wasn't allowed under the existing rules.
Right.
So he had to get creative.
Okay.
He used what's called the as-of-right building tactic.
As-of-right. Okay.
And this is where he presented the City Planning Commission with a model of the most hideous, boxy building imaginable.
Like just a big...
Like something he could legally build without any variances.
Okay.
So he was like, here's what I could do.
It's either this...
Or we can do this.
Right. What?
So by showcasing that unattractive alternative to his grand vision, he was able to secure the variance for his Fifth Avenue entrance.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Using the system to his advantage.
Yeah. And it wasn't just city planning he had to win over.
Right.
To maximize the height of Trump Tower, he also needed air rights from the neighboring Tiffany & Co.
Oh, okay.
And so to do that, he had this brilliant idea where he presented the chairman of Tiffany's with two models.
With two models, okay.
One, a stunning skyscraper, the Trump Tower we know today.
Right.
The other... Well, let's just say it was designed to make the chairman cringe.
So basically.
So again, choose your fate.
Choose your fate. Wow.
Right. What do you want next to your beautiful building?
Wow.
So it's just amazing how he was able to combine charm and shrewd negotiation.
It's like theatrical, right? Like
yeah, it's theatrical.
Yeah.
It really is.
A little bit of showmanship, a little bit of business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it worked.
It did.
Yeah.
And, you know, these early projects really highlight his unique approach to deal making.
Yeah.
Like he's willing to think outside the box.
Yeah.
Anticipate obstacles.
Yeah.
Leverage situations to his advantage. I mean, it's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, let's shift gears a little bit.
Right.
Head over to Atlantic City.
Oh.
Early 1980s, the casino market was booming and Trump, never one to shy away from a high stakes game.
Right. Right.
Saw an opportunity.
He saw a big opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the gambling industry, right? With its inherent risks.
Yes.
Huge potential rewards.
Yes.
Seems tailor-made for Trump's personality
and
his business philosophy.
And it really does.
Yeah.
But acquiring the land for his first casino was a complex puzzle.
Oh, really?
It involved multiple owners, competing interests, and even ongoing lawsuits.
Oh, wow.
So not exactly a walk in the park.
No.
So this is where Trump's meticulous planning and strategic maneuvering really come to the forefront. He structured the deals in a way that made the purchase of each parcel contingent on acquiring all the other parcels.
Oh, wow.
Right. So this prevented anyone from like holding him hostage.
Right.
And allowed him to assemble this prime boardwalk location.
Oh, it's so smart.
He needed. What? Yeah. So it's like he was playing, you know, a game of high stakes dominoes, yeah, making sure that all the pieces fell into place.
Yeah.
And he did that through really careful planning.
So mitigating risk, but also, mm-hmm, you know,
yes,
securing a strategic advantage.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. And so his first venture in Atlantic City was actually a partnership with Holiday Inn.
Okay.
And then later he would acquire the Hilton Casino.
Okay.
Further solidifying his presence in this burgeoning market.
Wow.
And so this is where things get really interesting financially.
Okay.
The way he structured the Hilton deal, minimizing his personal risks while maximizing potential profits, it's kind of a textbook example of his financial savvy.
Right.
So he secures a $250 million bond offering to finance this acquisition.
Wow.
And that freed him from personal liability.
Okay.
And in Art of the Deal, he actually mentions that this is what allowed him to sleep better at night.
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
You know, $250 million, not a small chunk of change.
Not at all.
But he's not on the hook for it personally.
Right.
And so this idea of using other people's money to fuel ambitious projects,
right,
is a recurring theme in Trump's career.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's certainly a strategy that helped him grow his empire rapidly.
Yeah.
But his ventures haven't always been successful.
Of course.
So his foray into the USFL in the 1980s provides a valuable lesson about knowing when to fold them.
Okay.
So he purchased the New Jersey Generals.
Okay.
This was a struggling team in a fledgling league.
Right, right.
And he saw potential for a comeback, right? He was like, I can make this work.
Right.
So he aggressively pushes for a fall schedule to compete directly with the NFL.
Oh.
And this leads to a very costly antitrust lawsuit.
Okay.
The USFL wins the lawsuit.
Okay.
But the victory was bittersweet.
Oh.
They were awarded only $1 in damages, effectively killing the league.
So they won, but they lost.
They won, but they lost, yeah.
Wow.
And so it was a hard lesson for Trump, but yeah, it was a valuable one.
Yeah.
And it really shows that sometimes even the most ambitious plans need to be reevaluated.
Right.
And that walking away can be just as strategic as pushing forward.
That's a great point.
So we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to continue our deep dive into the deal-making world of Donald Trump.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Stay tuned.
Okay.
Welcome back. We're digging deeper into the deal-making world of Donald Trump, and we've seen how he operates in New York real estate, but his ambition doesn't stop there.
No, not at all.
Let's go back to Atlantic City, where Trump really made some of his biggest bets and faced some of his toughest challenges. His acquisition of the unfinished Hilton Casino.
Unfinished?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was unfinished. Mm-hmm. And this is really a prime example of his high-risk, high-reward approach.
Okay.
So he paid $320 million for a property that wasn't even complete.
$320 million for an unfinished
casino.
Wow.
Yeah. Construction delays, cost overruns, you know, legal battles. It was all part of the package.
It sounds like a headache.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people thought he overpaid.
Right.
But Trump, he saw potential where others saw problems.
Nah.
And he was confident in his ability to turn things around.
Okay.
And he also leveraged his financial savvy to minimize his personal risks.
Okay. How did he do that?
So he secures this $250 million bond offering, which frees him from personal liability,
right,
gives him more flexibility to manage the project. And then, of course, he renames it.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Trump's Castle.
You got to put your name on it.
You got to put your name on it, right? So it wasn't just about acquiring the casino. It was about establishing his dominance in Atlantic City.
Right.
And this drive to expand his empire, it went beyond casinos. He explored all sorts of ventures.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Demonstrating his willingness to diversify.
Okay.
And seize opportunity wherever he saw it.
Wow.
He even considered, get this, purchasing Eastern Airlines.
Eastern Airlines. Wow.
During a period of deregulation in the airline industry.
So he was really, I mean, was he looking for like struggling companies?
I think he was looking for opportunity, right?
Yeah.
He saw potential in these shifting markets.
Right.
So ultimately, he decides against the airline deal.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. But it proves that he's not just a gambler.
Right.
He's a calculated risk taker who knows when to walk away.
Yeah, because you got to know when to walk away.
I got to know when to walk away.
Bold him.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a crucial part of his deal-making philosophy.
Yeah.
Understanding when to hold him and when to fold him.
Definitely.
He's not afraid to make bold moves.
Right.
But he also knows that sometimes the best deal is the one you don't make.
It's true.
And his interest in these other iconic properties, like he wanted to buy the Plaza Hotel.
The Plaza Hotel. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And even the Empire State Building.
Really?
It shows this, like, this grand vision and relentless pursuit of these opportunities that align with his brand.
Yeah, so it's not just about the money. It's also about...
It's about the image.
Yeah, the prestige.
The prestige.
Okay.
So the Plaza Hotel, with its historical significance, prime location...
Right in the middle of the city.
Right in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
It was a chance to further expand his real estate empire.
Right.
In one of the most, you know, prestigious locations in the world.
Yeah.
And he had this vision for the Plaza.
Oh, yeah. What was he going
to
do?
He wanted to transform it into this, like, mixed-use development.
Okay.
Luxury condominiums, high-end retail spaces.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, like, kind of like a, what do they call that? Like a...
A destination.
Yeah, destination.
Oh, yeah. And even a grand casino.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, like a city within a city.
Yeah, it was a bold vision.
Yeah.
But ultimately, he faced obstacles in securing the permits and the approvals.
Oh, so it didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, despite his best efforts, Trump's bid for the Plaza was unsuccessful.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Interesting, though.
Yeah. But it showcases his willingness to think big.
Yeah.
Right. To pursue these opportunities that really resonated with his brand.
Yeah.
And to push the boundaries of what's possible
right.
in real estate.
Yeah. And even when a deal doesn't go through,
yeah.
like in the case of the Plaza.
Or Eastern Airlines.
Or Eastern Airlines, yeah.
It still contributes to his image
right.
as this like bold and ambitious deal maker.
Exactly.
It keeps his name in the headlines.
Which is good for business, right?
Good for business. Generates buzz around his brand, his yeah. interest in the New York Yankees.
Oh, wow.
Right. A team yeah. steeped in tradition, devoted fan base.
Yeah. Everybody loves the Yankees.
Yeah. It highlights his drive to expand into different arenas
okay.
and acquire these assets that hold cultural significance.
Yeah.
He saw the Yankees as this, like, this valuable asset with potential for increased profitability
okay.
and brand recognition.
Right. So it all makes sense.
Yeah, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
But ultimately, he faced resistance from the team's ownership and opted not to pursue the deal.
Okay.
So, you know, even the most successful deal makers face limitations.
Right, right.
Sometimes you gotta adapt.
Gotta adapt.
Based on the circumstances.
Yeah.
Now let's revisit a deal that did go through.
Okay.
But not without its twists and turns.
Yeah.
This is the battle with tenants at 100 Central Park South.
Okay, I've heard about this.
Yeah. And this episode really highlights Trump's ability to not only adapt.
Okay.
But to potentially benefit from adversity.
Okay.
So initially, he planned to demolish the building,
right.
construct a new one.
Okay.
But the tenants, they feared displacement, financial loss.
Oh, boy.
Right. They put up a fierce resistance. They used every legal avenue to delay the project.
Oh, wow.
And they painted him as this heartless developer, insensitive to the needs of these long-term residents.
Oh, so it was like a PR battle as well?
It was a PR battle.
Okay.
They called him... A modern day Scrooge.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
Ouch. So it added this whole other layer of complexity to the situation.
Right.
But as this legal battle's dragging on,
yeah.
the value of New York real estate, it skyrockets.
Oh, wow.
So by the time a settlement is reached,
yeah.
Trump is in a position to develop a much more profitable project than initially envisioned.
Wow. So it actually worked out in his favor.
Yeah.
Wow.
This unexpected turn of events demonstrates his resilience.
Yeah.
His ability to find opportunity amidst challenge
yeah.
and his knack for turning potential losses into substantial financial wins.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give him credit.
You got to give him credit.
He's good at what he does.
And so this whole episode underscores this recurring theme in Trump's career.
Yeah.
His willingness to push the boundaries of what's considered acceptable
yeah.
in deal making.
Okay.
Right? He's a master at playing hardball,
yeah.
challenging conventional wisdom, and using every tool at his disposal
yeah.
to secure the best possible outcome.
Yeah. For himself. Right.
Yeah. Now let's turn our attention to a project that really embodies Trump's ambition.
Okay.
And his passion for creating these iconic structures.
Okay.
Trump Tower.
Ah, Trump Tower. Okay.
This was more than just a real estate venture.
Okay.
This was a declaration.
A statement.
A statement, yeah, of his arrival as a major force
okay.
in development.
In the world of development, okay.
So Trump Tower was a statement. It was a testament to his vision and his drive to create a landmark
yeah.
that would forever alter the New York City skyline.
I mean, he did that.
He did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and he spared no expense to make sure that it exuded this, like, this luxury and opulence from mm-hmm. the grand atrium to the cascading waterfall,
right.
gleaming brass accents.
All about the image.
It was yeah. it was about creating a brand.
Right.
Yeah, associating his name with luxury, exclusivity, success.
And he's very good at that personal branding.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, right. Like a master of it.
Yeah, and he did this long before it became common practice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So Trump Tower was a success. Critically and commercially.
Okay.
It attracted high-profile tenants. It generated substantial revenue. It cemented his reputation as a developer with, you know, impeccable taste.
Right.
And a knack for creating these iconic structures.
Yeah, he really set the bar high.
He did. Yeah. He did.
Okay.
Of course, the construction of Trump Tower wasn't without its challenges.
Oh, really?
He faced zoning restrictions, community opposition, and legal battles. Yeah, over the design and height of the building.
Oh, right.
But as we've seen time and time again, he persevered.
Right.
Using his negotiation skills, yeah. his legal acumen, and that unwavering self-belief.
It seems to be a common theme.
It really is.
Yeah.
To overcome these hurdles. And so we even see this signature choose your fate model strategy comes back again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He does it again to secure the variance for the building's height, presenting the City Planning Commission with two options.
With two options, okay.
His desired design
right.
and a far less appealing alternative.
Right, so they're going to pick the good-looking building.
The good-looking building, right.
Yeah.
So it was a brilliant tactic. It effectively communicated the consequences
yeah.
of denying his request
oh.
and ultimately led to the approval of his vision.
So smart. I mean, it's really clever.
And the success of Trump Tower, it solidified his status as this, like, dominant figure
yeah.
in New York real estate.
Right.
And it set the stage for even grander and more ambitious projects.
So this is like a stepping stone to even bigger things.
Yeah. And it established his signature style.
Yeah.
This blend of luxury, boldness, and willingness to push the boundaries of conventional design.
Definitely. Definitely.
So Trump's story serves as a reminder that success often requires a combination of talent, vision, and a willingness to take calculated risks.
Right.
His career offers valuable lessons for anyone
yeah.
who wants to understand high-stakes negotiations.
Yeah.
The power of personal branding and the importance of persistence
right.
to achieve those ambitious goals.
Yeah, you got to have that drive.
You got to have that drive, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to take another quick break.
Okay.
But when we come back, we're going to conclude our deep dive into Donald Trump's world of deal making.
Awesome.
We'll be exploring those key takeaways from his journey and what we can all learn from his unique approach.
I'm excited for that.
Stay with us.
Okay.
Wow, we've been on quite a ride through the world of Donald Trump's deals, haven't we?
We have, from New York City skyscrapers to those Atlantic City casinos. Always a story.
It's amazing how each story, even the ones that maybe weren't big wins, still shows us something about how he makes deals. You see these patterns, the style. It's become like the Trump way, you know?
Definitely. It's like his signature. And it's not just about those big wins or bold moves. It's about the strategy behind it all, right?
Yeah.
What can we learn? Anyone who's interested in this world, what can they take away from his successes and, yeah, even his failures?
Exactly. Exactly. One thing that really stands out to me is how he thinks big. It's like he doesn't see limits, just opportunities. Remember that story about those building models, the totally different ones,
yeah.
to get that zoning variance for Trump Tower.
Oh, yeah. Classic Trump. He pushes the limits, doesn't do things the usual way.
Yeah.
Makes you think, how much of his success is just like sheer willpower, belief in his vision?
It's got to be a big part of it, right? But it's also leverage, knowing how to use information to your advantage. Whether it's the city's financial problems or those complicated tenant laws, the Central Park South situation, how the tenant stalling actually helped him in the end.
Oh, right, right. That shows another key thing. He adapts, changes direction when things shift. Doesn't get stuck on setbacks, turns them into opportunities. Like walking away from that Eastern Airlines deal when the numbers weren't good. There's discipline there.
Totally. It's not about chasing every deal. It's knowing when to walk away, when to fold them, like in poker. And speaking of poker, that USFL thing really shows that, right?
Big time. Bold move, taking on the NFL. but a costly lesson about picking your fights carefully. Still, even in losing, there's a lesson there. Learn from it and move on.
And we can't forget the Trump brand, that name that means luxury, ambition. He was a master at self-promotion way before social media. Trump Tower wasn't just a building, it was a message.
A huge message. So, thinking about all this, what stands out to you, the listener? Is it those risks he takes, those sharp negotiation skills, or that rock-solid belief in his vision?
Or maybe it's those financial moves, like that $250 million bond for the Hilton, no personal risk for him. It shows how you can use financial tools to reach your goal.
It does. His business smarts. How he understands those complex financial things goes back to what we talked about. Minimize your risk. Maximize what you could gain.
Exactly. Whether it's a business deal or a big life decision, those are good things to remember. Be strategic. Think it through. Protect what you've got.
Absolutely. You know, going through all this, one thing that really hit me was Trump's self-belief. It's like so strong you could almost feel it.
It's true. It's like this energy pushing him forward, even when things are tough. Early on in New York real estate, those fights with tenants, city officials, he never seemed to doubt he'd win.
And that's something we can all learn from whatever we're doing. Believing in yourself, in your ideas, it's powerful. Helps you bounce back from setbacks, take those chances, keep going when it's hard.
But important thing, that self-belief needs a bit of reality check. You got to be willing to change too. Even Trump had to shift sometimes. Know when a deal's not worth it. Learn from mistakes.
For sure. It's about finding that balance, strong belief, but also being flexible. That might be the biggest lesson from all this, diving into Trump's world.
It really is. It's been great exploring his deals, the good and the bad, how he changed the business world. Hope you found it interesting, too.
We've just scratched the surface here. So much more in those sources. So much to learn.
Definitely. Go do your own deep dive. See what you find.
Exactly.
That's all for today. Keep exploring, keep learning, and keep making those deals.